This evening I wanted to go back. Sunday afternoon we were looking at 1 Kings chapter 9, and I want to go back and look at a little bit in greater depth about the historical portion of what Solomon was doing. And so I've got a map up, but like I mentioned before the service, I don't have the right map. None of the maps are exactly right. This one is a modern map, but it gives me more of the area that I'm going to be talking about. And so I'll try and point out the cities. Some of the cities are on this map as well. They've got the same names. But some of them aren't in existence anymore. Some of them were destroyed during the Babylonian or the Assyrian captivities, and they were not rebuilt. But this evening I'd just like to take a look at 1 Kings chapter 9, and I'm going to read from verse 10 through the end of the chapter real quickly, and then we're going to be looking at these cities and what Solomon was doing. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold, according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. And he said, "What cities are these that thou hast given me, my brother?" And he called them the land of Kabul unto this day. And Hiram sent the king to the king 60 talents of gold. And this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised, for to build the house of the Lord and his own house and Millo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. For Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it as a present unto his daughter, Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Baal-horon the nether and Baalath and Tadmor in the wilderness in the land. And all the cities that store Solomon had, and the cities for the chariots and the cities for the horsemen, that which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and in all the land of dominion. And the people that were left of the Amorites and the Hittites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bondservants unto this day. And the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen, but they were men of war, and his servants and his princes and his captains and rulers over his chariots and his horsemen. And these were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, which bear rule over the people that wrought in the work. And Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Millo. And three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. And he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord, so he finished the house. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Esron-Geber, which is beside Eloth in the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy, his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold 420 talents and brought it to King Solomon. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, help us to begin to kind of grasp what Solomon was doing with all of this building and understand that you were using Solomon to put the borders of your nation, and Father, that you used him and to proclaim who you were, even as he went out beyond what had been the boundaries of Israel. Lord God, I pray that you just speak to us this evening through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a number of cities, and we're going to be looking at these cities tonight that Solomon built. We spent a lot of time looking at the building of the temple, and we spent a little time on the building of Solomon's other five buildings within on the Temple Mount, his palace, his wife's palace, the armory, and two other buildings that were built upon the mount. But he built a lot of other things as well. And one of the things that Solomon did is he established these buildings throughout Israel, and they became his fortresses. They became that which was the protection, if you would, the outposts to help protect not only Jerusalem, but all the land of Israel. The first one that's mentioned is Millo. Millo was located right, incorporated right into the walls that he built in Jerusalem. Now it says that one of the first things that he built after he was completed with that was the walls of Jerusalem and the city of Millo. Millo was a small outpost incorporated into the walls of Jerusalem. And the walls of Jerusalem were built around it because cities back in those days had walls around them to protect against enemies that would come in. And today, if you go to Jerusalem, what you'll see is you will see the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem. The old walls of the city of Jerusalem are still standing from the time of Herod. And you can actually walk around on the top of those walls. And we were able to do that the last time we were in Jerusalem and walked around most of them, except they'd cut off so we couldn't get beyond the Muslim quarter into the Jerusalem quarter. But it's interesting as you look at the walls that they were built to protect the city. And then they had gates, and the gates have specific meanings. When you study about the walls of Jerusalem, there are various meanings to the different gates that allow entrance into the city. Now, I want us to look at the specific cities that he mentions, and we're going to be talking a little bit about them. And I'm going to pull out a map here that's going to help me try and get closer to where exactly these various cities are. First city that he mentions after Millo is a city that Pharaoh, the city of Hazor. And Hazor was a city fortress, and it was about 10 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. And so you got the Sea of Galilee right there, and it would be 10 miles northwest. So Hazor would have been right in this area, right about there. And Hazor was a city that was built as a strategic location. And what you're going to see is that Solomon built these cities on trade routes. And this was one of the main routes that people would take to get from Egypt, which would be down here, up to Mesopotamia, which is over here. And so they'd come through, and they'd come along here, and they'd go through this city right here. And so, if later on we're going to be looking at this area as well, which is Megiddo, the mountain of Megiddo, and which where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. But this was one of the main trade routes. So he built this city here, and it's one of the first cities that he builds. And then he goes to Megiddo, and Megiddo was the city, and it is overlooking the Valley of Jezreel. And the Valley of Jezreel would be in this area right here, And if you go to Israel today, you go to Mount Carmel, you can get up on Mount Carmel and you look down and you'll see the Valley of Jezreel. And it's a beautiful valley. They raise all kinds of crops there. But it's also Megiddo and the Valley of Jezreel are where a number of wars have been fought throughout history. And when Napoleon Bonaparte was in the Middle East and he saw the Valley of Jezreel, he said, this is a perfect place to fight a battle. And if you look at the book of Revelation, it talks about the battle of Armageddon, and it also in Zechariah talks about the battle of Armageddon. The word Armageddon, the meaning of the word is Mount Megiddo, the by Mount Megiddo. And so the Valley of Jezreel, where the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought below Mount Megiddo in that valley. And Megiddo was overlooking the Valley of Jezreel. It was one of the most strategic places in all of Israel because there was major traffic. As I mentioned, you had that traffic that was going by Hazor up here, but now the Valley of Jezreel is right in here, and all this traffic would come through here, both traffic going north and south and as well as traffic going to the east. And there were major trade routes there, and it was we see that the major traffic flowing both ways, and so it was a strategic place to place on Mount Megiddo, which was one of the mountains overlooking this valley, because if your enemy started coming, you would have the high ground. And back when they fought in those days, it was extremely important to have the high ground. They didn't have missiles, they didn't have airplanes, they didn't have tanks, they didn't have things that could shoot long distances over. Like, for example, right now in the Middle East, there was some of the people that, leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah that Israel killed, and they killed them with rockets from airplanes and rockets holding shoulder rockets. You didn't have those things back then. And if you had the high ground, it gave you a tremendous advantage. You could see what your enemy was doing. You could also come down on your enemy. And if they tried to come up to get you, it gave you a great advantage. And they had to fight through the arrows and spears and the different things of weaponry that you would use against them. So Mount Megiddo gave a tremendous advantage to Solomon overlooking the Valley of Jezreel. And then we see that also during this, in the Valley of Jezreel and also by the city of Hazor, there was also other battles that had been fought before the time of Solomon. During the time of Deborah and Barak, they were attacked in the same area, and they defeated Sisera, and in the same area. The battles were fought in the same valley. And so it's important to note how important that valley was and still is to this day and will be at the end of history. And that's where the final battle, where the Lord will come and defeat the enemies of Israel by the word of his mouth. Then we see that Solomon went, and after he had built these, he went to Gezer. And Gezer, it says, was a city, and it's located in Jerusalem. Can I get my bearings here? Jerusalem is right here, and it's 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, so it would be over in this area. Gezer was a Canaanite city. It was originally a Canaanite stronghold. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and, you know, you're probably wondering, well, they've been talking about these cities up here, and all of a sudden he's talking about a city down here, but then it says that Pharaoh came from Egypt. Egypt's down here. He came with his army, and he defeated this city. And he did it for a purpose. And not only did he defeat it, he wiped it out. It was totally destroyed. It was flattened. All the people were killed. They were all Canaanites that were still living in the city at this time. Remember, even during the time of Solomon, not all of the Canaanites had been driven out of the land. They didn't do that, even though the Lord had told them to do it when they came into the land at the time of Joshua, a number of years before this, and yet they still had not driven all the Canaanites out. And this was one of the Canaanite strongholds yet, and Pharaoh came and wiped out the city. Then Solomon came and rebuilt the city. And Pharaoh gave this city, the place, to his daughter, Solomon's wife. And so Solomon built this city again. But what this city did is it gave Jerusalem protection from the southwest. If they had enemies that came up from the southwest, there was also a stronghold there. All of these cities that he's building as strongholds or fortresses, where they'd have armies, they'd also be walled cities, and so that he would have protection. And as you see, he's beginning to surround Jerusalem with the cities that he's building. Then he goes on and it says, after he had built Gezer, then it says, Solomon built Beth Horon, the Nether. Now, Beth Horon there are two cities called Beth Horon. And the scriptures tell us that Solomon used Beth Horon, the Nether. Beth Horon, the Nether means Beth Horon, the Lower. There was also Beth Horon, the Upper. These two cities were located, let's see if I remember, put down where they were located. They were located between, and this map does not show where Judah and Benjamin were, and Judah and Ephraim. Ephraim would have been north in this area. Right here would have been the land of Ephraim. Benjamin would have been right around here in this area. And there was Beth Horon. They were two cities that were between where the border between those two tribes met. And the interesting thing about these two cities is Beth Horon the Upper was at an elevation of 2,000 feet. Beth Horon the Lower was an elevation of 1,200 feet. So there's 800 feet elevation difference between these two cities, yet they were only separated by just a few miles. One of the things that happened in these cities is they made a natural passageway, and people would use it to get to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to what was referred to as Joppa, or where Tel Aviv is today. And that would be a natural passage. So you have Jerusalem located here, and Jaffa or Tel Aviv is over on the coast, over in this area, and that would be a natural way to get through the mountain right there. And so armies would use it. The Philistines used it when they came through to go up and to wage war with Saul. We also see that there are others that used it to wage war. And so many of these places were natural places that to protect from your enemies, and so Solomon did it. Solomon built, made the real stronghold the lower one, and there was also the upper, but he used both of them, but the main one he used, as the scriptures say, was the lower, and that's where he made the stronghold there to cut off the ability of the armies to come through that passage to go from the Mediterranean to Jerusalem. And so we see that, again, he's beginning to surround the city of Jerusalem. He's down here, then he's up in here. He's got these cities up here. But then he does something very interesting. It says that, and Solomon, after he'd done these, he went to two cities called Baalath and Tadmor. Now, Baalath, there's not a lot known about that city, other than it says it was out in the wilderness. Tadmor, we know more about. Tadmor was a city that was built, again, at a crossroads, but it was, here's Damascus up here. This was city was built northeast of Damascus, so it would have been built up in here. And that was the, if you would see a map of Solomon's empire went up, and the Euphrates River is up here. The King David's empire and Solomon's empire stopped at the Euphrates empire, you know, River up here. And this Tamar would be up in this area, northeast of Damascus. And this was the edge of Solomon's territory. And what he did there is he built this as a stronghold, as a fortified city, as a walled city. And again, it was at a crossroads. All of these cities were uniquely placed at crossroads. So if the enemies begin to attack Israel, they could be stopped where it would be easiest for them to get access to Israel. And so Solomon prepared his city, prepared his protection of his cities to do that. Now we're saying, how did he build all these cities? We talked a little bit about that on Sunday. He used slave labor to build the cities. And the slaves were the Canaanites. It said that there were not only just this one little city that was left in the land, but there was a number of Canaanites that were left in the land. And Solomon put them to servitude. That is, he made them slaves. And one of the things that he had them do was build these cities. And he also put tribute upon them. That is, he taxed them put them to work building cities and also taxed them for it. But he didn't put his own people to building the cities. As it says there, he made them the men of war. And so they became the ones that would be inhabiting the cities to do the protecting of Israel. And he made them the various captains and various ranks within the army, as well as his army, consisted of Israelites. He didn't make his enemies part of his army, which you see his wisdom in doing that. So that's how he built the cities, but he didn't stop there. And one of the things that is interesting, it mentions Hiram again. We talked on Sunday about Hiram and the getting of the gold from Hiram, that he borrowed gold. He gave these 20 cities as a tribute or a promissory note to pay the gold. The 20 cities were up here by the Galilee region. Hiram went and looked at the cities, wasn't impressed with them, gave them back to Solomon, said, I don't want them. He basically called them, they're good for nothing cities. Solomon rebuilt those cities as well. We find that in 2 Chronicles. It talks about the fact that he rebuilt those 20 cities up in the Galilee region. But as you look at what he did is Tyre, which you're hearing Tyre in the news today. There's Tyre right up there. And here is Jerusalem. This would be about where the Lebanon border and Syrian border would go today. It would be right in here. The Golan Heights is right there. You're hearing a lot about the Golan Heights today. Well, Tyre is where Hezbollah is shooting rockets from and creating some of the problems there are for northern Israel is from Tyre today. But King Hiram, that was the center of his kingdom, and he was a friend of Israel. He was a friend of David, and he was a friend of Solomon. And one of the things that we see that Hiram did is in verse 26, it said, and King Solomon made a navy of ships. Nowhere else do you really see anything in Israel talking about a navy other than here. You'll see during the time of Jesus, they had boats that they went out on the Sea of Galilee to fish with. So they always were fishermen in doing that. But they didn't ever talk about a navy except during the time of Solomon. And Solomon built a navy. But he didn't have a lot of people that knew how to sail ships. Where did he build his navy? Well, it talks about the fact that he built his navy at Ezen Geber. Ezen Geber is located way down here, and I don't have way down here. At the Red Sea starts right in here. And Even Geber would be where Elot is today. And Elot is right here. You have Jordan on this side, Egypt on this side, and Israel comes down here, and Elot is right on the Red Sea. It's the Israel's seaport on the Red Sea. And that is where Solomon had his navy stationed, was at what is current-day Elot. And he needed help building his ships and manning his ships to teach the Israelites how to be sailors. Well, he went to Hiram. Remember, we talked about these people up here were Phoenicians. That was where they were people of the sea. The history of the Phoenician people is they originally came from the islands out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and they had come and invaded Israel and the northern portion, what is Beirut or Lebanon today, and they made their settlements along the coast. In the southern part, they were referred to as the Philistines. In the northern portion, up by where Lebanon is today, they were referred to as the Phoenicians. And when I was in high school and we studied world history, we studied about the Phoenicians and how they were world sea traders. And they went all over the Mediterranean and up the coast of Europe trading, and were known for their trading. Well, Hiram came down and sent expertise men that were experienced in building ships and in manning ships to help Solomon build and man his navy to teach them how to do that. And we find that, it says, and King Solomon made a navy of ships at Ezengeber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. This over here is the land of Edom. Petra, if you go today, Petra would be located somewhere right in here. And Petra is where was the stronghold of the Edomites. It was really at one time their capital city. And if you go to Petra today, the Nabateans, which were also descendants of Ishmael, so they were cousins of the Edomites. They came in and were the craftsmen that did all the work on the sandstones that made these beautiful carvings and buildings into the walls or the cliffs of Petra. And it's interesting, if you go to Petra today, they come up in, like for example, the treasury of Petra. That's probably one of the most famous pictures that you'll see. It's a beautiful carved structure with pillars out of sandstone. And you come up to it, and you think it's this magnificent thing, but you walk in, and it's the depth of it is less than this room here, just about. All of these were very shallow buildings, but many of them were just beautiful in the carving that the Nabateans did. The Edomites were never conquered except by the Nabateans. And the Nabateans did it because they came in and did this work for them, and the Edomites trusted them, and so they really conquered them from within. The Edom was never conquered from without because they had their system where they were able to keep their enemies because they had to pass through these narrow passages to get to the main cities of Edom, and they could always, again, they possessed the high ground, could shoot down on them as they came through the passages. Well, so that was the land of Edom, and this was where part of today there's, I forget the name of the city, that's right next to where Israel ends in its main city down here at Seaport. But there's a city from Jordan that's right across the bay from Elot, and that's in the land of Jordan. And would have been part of Edom, and that's what it's referring to. The Edom and Egypt came down together, so it would be Elot. Hiram sent in a navy of his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, and with the servants of Solomon. So they taught them how to sail. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold and 420 talents and brought it to King Solomon. Now, they don't know for sure the exact location of the mines of Solomon. These would have been the mines of Solomon. But they think that they were in either They could have been in Arabia or East Africa or even as far away as India, but they're not certain where they are. You've probably heard of people that are looking for the gold mines of Solomon, and that was to find these places where they got all this gold from. But he had this navy, and that's one of the things they went out and did. They were able to get gold and bring it back. And so we see that Solomon protected Jerusalem with these fortresses around it. He protected the outside borders of his land. He protected himself from the south and the sea. So he had a military protection. And during Solomon's reign, you never read about wars. Like David was always fighting against the Philistines and always fighting. Solomon didn't have a lot of wars, but he had military protection and bases that protected him from having people being able to gain access to him and come without his knowing it. And so we see that his wisdom shows in the way that he designed his defenses. The scriptures tell us how he did it and what it was done for. And it's interesting today that you see many of the things that Israel does today are similar to what Solomon did then. They have their defenses, and the way that they're doing right now is up in the Golan Heights. They gained the Golan Heights during the 67 war, and then it was recently given to them as part of Israel when President Trump came to power. Then the U.S. recognized Golan as Israel and others, and they have some of their main defenses up here. And if you look at Damascus, it's not far from the border of Israel. And when we were, the last time we were in Israel, we went up to the Golan Heights, and we were actually on the border of Syria and Israel, which would be right about here. And that's where they had, in the 73 war, they had their famous tank battle up there, where Israel was greatly outnumbered with tanks, and yet they won the battle. And there's still some of the tanks sitting up there that have been left up there it's kind of a park up there. And while we were in that area on the Syrian border, there's a little town that was like probably 5 miles from the border, 10 miles from the border. Well, 5 miles, I would say, because you could see it. And we could hear gunshots going on in that town while we were up there. But that's where some of the war is being fought right now, is right here. Mount Hermon is right in this area, and Mount Hermon is where those children were killed and at the end of last, let's see, would it be beginning of this week, end of last week, beginning of this week, by the Hezbollah rocket. And what they did is Hezbollah, Syria is on this side of Mount Hermon. They shot a rocket over the mountain and it hit on the other side. They said that they were aiming for an Israeli encampment on the Golan Heights, but instead it hit this Druze community on the Golan Heights and killed the children. And but it helps to put into perspective what was happening during the time of Solomon with his protection of Israel, and also it also gives you a little insight into what's going on today. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand why you included Solomon building these walled cities and these outposts to protect Israel, and why you included that, why you included about the Navy. You give us a lot of insight, but it does give us some. And it helps us to put into perspective the geography of Israel and how things were put together. And Father, help us to understand what was going on during that time, and even how it impacts today and how it will impact in the future. And Father, these same areas that Solomon built his outposts are going to be some of the areas where the battles of the last day are going to be fought. When the Russia and Syria and Iran and Turkey come against Israel with Sudan and Libya. They'll be attacking from the north. And then also we know in the last days, the Battle of Armageddon in the plains of Jezreel. And Lord, how that battle is going to be the final battle. And Lord, we can see how this is all laid out through history, and these have been places that have been fought over for years. And Lord, help us to understand that, and this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number